Ladies and gentlemen, Thursday Football Scoop Podcast. I'm Scott Roussel, college football experts, Doug Samuels, John Bryce, Zach Barnett, all joining us. You know what we do on Thursdays? We talk about the upcoming slate of games. This is a weird week. I wanted to let you guys know Zach has extended his lead in our picks. Six games out front, eight games out front. He's doing really well. We hit him with everything we got this week. We put him on nuclear winter. His brain is completely fried. He's not even sure who's actually coaching in the real games because he's in nuclear winter mode. Maybe he goes 0-15. Maybe he goes 15-0. Zach, you get to lead us off Thursday night, tonight. Georgia Southern at App, UTSA out south at South Florida. Anything get you excited there?
Yeah, I'm interested in that UTSA South Florida game. South Florida obviously is playing for big things. UTSA is trying to figure out how to win a home game. Or how to win away from home, excuse me. They've never lost a conference home game under Jeff Traylor, put the brakes off Tulane last week. That magic in the Alamo Dome has not followed them outside the Alamo Dome, and they've been a completely different team. So I'm interested in that one. I expect USF to get the win there, but I'll be tuned into that one for sure.
John Bryce, from a coaching perspective, inside scoop type stuff, which other fan bases might be watching the South Florida game tonight?
Yeah, I would think that they would be calling the Hogs for random reasons on a Thursday night while the Roadrunners, beep, beep, and South Florida Bulls are playing. I think that Arkansas will be very locked into this game, probably from Hunter Yurachek on down, especially now that his CFP duties for the week are done and he should be back in Vietnam and ready to roll.
Stillwater, Oklahoma might tune in as well.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible.
Friday night, we got quite a slate, honestly. Houston at UCF, Northwestern out at USC, and then Tulane's at Memphis in just a ginormous game. Give me thoughts. Doug, what gets you going there?
I mean, I think that's a really good, solid Friday lineup, those three games. I've got my second weekend now without a game on Friday night, so I'm still going to be hitting a local high school game, but I would say thankfully for YouTube TV, but they're on everyone's hit list right now. They're not in anyone's good graces. But that Houston UCF game, Houston coming off a tough game last week where they just didn't look like themselves, and Scott Frost in his first year at 2.0, that's probably the game I'll have if YouTube and Google come to, or YouTube and ESPN come to an agreement somehow before then, which they absolutely need to. That's a game I'll have in my pocket.
So tonight's games, Thursday night's games, both are on the ESPN network. So YouTube TV is totally out, which is utterly ridiculous. Get your act together, people. Friday, two games are on the Fox World. Northwestern's at SC, and that's kind of like the little SC, you better come correct.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get from Northwestern.
Yeah, and you rudely skipped over Georgia Southern and App State tonight, which is really a key game for Georgia Southern. Like, Clay Helton needs to stack some wins. So I just had to give you a hard time about that. But I think that Northwestern might be the quietest 5-3 team in the nation. And they beat Penn State when the Nits were still ranked. But they have played really just sound football. They're not dynamic in any phase whatsoever. You hardly watch Northwestern on TV and go, wow, did you see that? And yet they're getting to the third and fourth quarter of game after game after game and having a chance to win almost every single time. We at Football Scoop are going to be taking a deeper dive into USC defensive coordinator Danton Lynn in the coming days. Spent some time with him recently. Excited to share that story. This is a big game for USC. USC still has playoff aspirations. They get an opportunity game coming up against Oregon. They were 19th in this week's CFP rankings, but they've also got to block out some distractions. Scott, you and I talked about the fact that Lincoln Riley's name is beginning to populate some circles that aren't in LA, and especially as Zach Barnett keenly noted this week in Nuclear Winter, that it looks like a hard freeze is coming in Baylor.
Lincoln Riley got a big win at Nebraska Saturday night. Would they have won the game if Dylan Raiola didn't break his leg? who knows? But USC won the game, and then immediately complained afterwards about, well, now we got to go home and play Northwestern on a Friday night. And it's just like, what is this, year four for you at USC? Like, you'd think you'd be at least accepting of this right now. Also, ignoring the other side that, yeah, it's not ideal for you to play a Friday night after a Saturday road night game. But it's also not ideal for Northwestern to have to go on the road and play a Friday night road game either. So you're both playing on the same amount of rest. So either way, I echo what John said, everything about USC. I'm interested in that Houston-UCF game. UCF seems to be in a bad way under Scott Frost 2.0. Willie Fritz needs a rebound after that awful performance against Rich Rod 2.0 at West Virginia last weekend.
So Tulane's at Memphis, and we haven't even spoken about the game. This is a battle. Eyes all over the place on this one. Tulane, you know, on national TV, and they knew it. They walked in there saying it's really hard to beat UTSA at home. Jeff Traylor doesn't lose conference games at home. He didn't. Tulane's got a rebound, and Silverfield's trying to, you know, plant that flag and make their claim that Memphis is the Group of Five team. Any thoughts as to how this one plays out?
This is the one, like Doug was saying, that I wish ESPN would get its stuff together with YouTube and get this on the tubes, because this is a game I desperately want to see. I wonder how many Hulu signups or whatever it would be, whatever other alternatives are out there. I refuse to look, but whatever the other alternatives out there are, I wonder how many people will sign up on the plains of Auburn, or also in Fayetteville, or also in Baton Rouge, or also in Stillwater, Oklahoma, or also maybe Gainesville, Florida. Like, there's a bunch of eyeballs on this game, and it's not because Tulane and Memphis is a great rivalry, even though it's a long-running rivalry in a bunch of different sports. Those teams share the geographical region, the Mississippi River. They share great animosity for one another. It's really a low-key, very good rivalry, and I don't know who's going to get to see it, but there's a lot of fan bases invested in it.
Can we take a quick are we all YouTube TV subscribers here?
Yep.
So on Saturday, I waited until Saturday morning because I thought, you know, maybe they'll work something out in the middle of the night Friday. And then I signed up for Fubo, the free trial, which I think probably runs out today, probably right now as I'm talking. And I'm basically just punting on YouTube TV for the rest of the football season. What are y'all? I'm curious what y'all are doing.
I've got my fingers crossed that they come to their senses and work something out, but that may be blind faith at this point.
Yeah. Last weekend while I visited my dear mother, she has like Dish, so I wasn't impacted on last weekend's games. This weekend, entirely different ball of wax. I'm home in the Bend, and reliant upon YouTube, and all of my in-laws also have YouTube. So my brother-in-law might have an ESPN Plus code that I can steal. I actually just canceled my ESPN Plus about 3 months ago because I honestly forgot that I had it. And Jess was like, how long are we going to keep paying $12 a month for this? I was like, I don't know. I didn't even know we were paying $12 a month. So I refused to re-sign for ESPN Plus because I just stopped wasting money on it. But we'll see. Otherwise, I'll also be in the press box Saturday night at Notre Dame Stadium and hoping that they don't have YouTube TV in their press box.
So a couple things. The ESPN app is so terrible. It's unbelievable. ESPN should somehow acquire YouTube TV from YouTube, Google. Those companies aren't playing very nicely, so this isn't going to happen. But if you could bring the YouTube TV experience into the ESPN app, that would be a game changer, but whatever.
Well, they launched that Fox and ESPN launched that streaming thing for just like their two channels, but it's an outrageous $39 a month.
Yeah, I signed up for Fubo thinking that it would, because I read somewhere that it had the multi-view, which I desperately missed last weekend. If it has it, I wasn't able to work it, but it had all the games last weekend, so I'll be there till further notice.
Yeah, I had never heard of Fubo until like last Saturday. What is it?
Well, the situation's Fubard.
Yeah, it's the Kmart to YouTube TV's Target. Oh, and I'm sure I'm sure in time ESPN will get crossways with Fubo, but for now it has all the networks I need, so that's what I'm on.
As of the time Zach gets off this call, he's not locked into a 2-year deal with Fubo, and he doesn't even know it after that free trial membership.
It expired while we're talking. It rolled you into you paid $700 for the year. Yeah. Oh, good times. Okay. BYU's at Texas Tech. Zach, set the scene. Give it to me.
So I was at the 2008 Texas Tech game, which was the biggest game in Tech history. And it still is certainly the biggest game since then. And I mean this with all love. The scene in Lubbock after they won was like a third world country had been liberated. There were people riding down the street, running down the streets. There were multiple people in pickup beds. I was walking in my car and people were shooting off fireworks in their front yards. It was college football. It was unlike anything I've ever seen before or since. I don't expect this to reach those heights, although they have been camping out and the students have since Sunday afternoon. But it is an 11 a.m. kick. The Tech defense, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. The Tech defense sets such a high floor for this team that even if the offense has a B game, I still expect them to win. Bear Bachmeyer's done great for a true freshman quarterback that didn't do spring football. I don't think they want him throwing the ball in this game more than 22 to 25 times. You're going to need to run the ball to be able to do that. Tech has the number one run defense in college football right now. So I think Tech wins something like 31-20.
I think it'll be more than that, to be honest with you, Zach. I think after this game, especially with it being such an early kick, that by sundown in Lubbock, the streets will be paved with gilded tortillas. Texas Tech is going to win this game very comfortably. Because I think Bear Bachmeyer is going to be a little bit overwhelmed for the first time in a difficult road setting. And for what you just stressed, Texas Tech is so good against the run. And Bear Bachmeyer is fearless, but he's not the most accurate passer. And I think because of that, he's going to get forced into some turnovers. Texas Tech is going to feed off of the insane crowd energy. And I think the Red Raiders win this game and win this game pretty comfortably.
I saw the spread is 10.5 for this game for a top 10 matchup was surprising to me. And then you start digging into stats and both these teams are ranked in the top 20 in a bunch of major defensive categories. I agree with JB. I think the difference here is the offense of Texas Tech and then just being able to get things rolling. And I think that 10.5 spread, Vegas obviously always seems like they know everything in 90% of cases. And this one, I think, really comes down to Texas Tech's offense, just being able to move the ball at a higher clip than really the one-dimensional BYU offense.
Yeah, I think it ends up like 30-13, 34-17.
So real quick, we saw on Tuesday night that the committee has a high opinion of the Big 12, at least the top of the Big 12, certainly higher than the ACC. There's a path for two. Big 12 seems a narrow path for three, but I think the only way that happens is a close BYU win on Saturday. And if that happens, it will be because Texas Tech is oddly wearing white, all white uniforms at home on Saturday, which is, unless you're LSU, is never a good look.
I know. It drives me, like, LSU and Georgia Tech have done it traditionally.
And Georgia, yes.
This new fad drives me nuts. Like, don't wear your icy whites at home. They're stormtroopers. Wear them when you're stormtrooping on the road.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, LSU is not traditionally all whites.
Yes. They're
right. Just white.
But that LSU white lid is one of the best helmets in all of football.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Give me a Kurt Cignetti quote after they hang 40 on Penn State.
What, like it was hard?
Clip that.
I told y'all to Google me. I'll win.
How about these guys were top five in the country a couple weeks ago?
No, I got a better one. I told y'all to Google me, but stop calling me.
All right. Does Mississippi State put a big scare in Georgia?
Absolutely. The record does not come close to reflecting how improved Mississippi State is. And they're 3 one-possession games or something away from being one of the teams most talked about in college football for its turnaround this year. I thought Mississippi State was going to be absolutely dreadful, and they have been absolutely competitive and fun to watch. And Jeff Levy has got more of his offense implemented and able to orchestrate it. And we saw them hand away a game at home earlier this year against Tennessee. They're absolutely capable of this Georgia team, especially, again, if the Maroon Bulldogs can get up early. Unless you're Tennessee or Ole Miss, Georgia is not an explosive offense. So you get the early lead and you make Georgia completely uncomfortable. That's what Mississippi State has to do to have a chance to win.
And Georgia will play into that because Georgia does not play hard for four quarters, at least until it absolutely has to. I mean, they play close games against just about every single team they play. So Georgia, why would this be any different? I expect this to be – I'm going to take Georgia to win, but I think it's a tight game in the fourth quarter, just like last week, just like nearly every Georgia game.
I totally agree. I think Mississippi State's ability to be explosive on offense is going to test Georgia's defense a lot. And, you know, they started off 4-0, then lost four straight, a couple tight ones. That their last three games against Georgia, against Rake, Missouri, and against Ole Miss. Like, I don't think they drop all three. I think they win maybe one or two, at least one of the three. But I mean, even if they drop all three and finish 5-7, this is one of the most improved teams in college football without question. That they've lost some tight games that could have gone to a coin flip and gone either way. But Jeff Levy has done an excellent job in his second year in Starkville.
Yeah, I think you got that monkey off your back finally winning an SEC game, so you can go into this game not feeling like, all right, well, is our streak going to get to 18 or whatever? But I think if you're Mississippi State, you go 5-7, like Doug said, you're kicking yourself all winter long because the Tennessee game and the Texas game, if that's the difference between going to a bowl game and not, I mean, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow.
And I was just going to say, like, all the pressure in this game is on Georgia, like all the pressure, because the Bulldogs still have Texas at home. The Georgia Bulldogs still have Texas at home next week and then close the season in the Mercedes Stadium, which Georgia Tech accepted a $10 million check to move that game. Just want to reiterate that. Close against Georgia Tech. Georgia already has one loss. If Georgia picks up a loss here, then it completely loses any margin of error to be a playoff team the remainder of its schedule.
I think at the end of the Texas game, Mississippi State, Texas, I tweeted something like, Levy's a good ball coach. Like, State is so improved. You know, they're getting there. Stick with him. And Mississippi State fan, and when I say that, I really mean like the coverage of Mississippi State. They love to DM me and tell me like I'm such an Ole Miss homer, and they're like, Levy's trash. You know, you're trying to be cute saying he's good because you want us to keep him. He's terrible. I'm like, bro, what game are you watching? Anyway, moving right along.
There's a phrase for that, real quickly. That's you have a sardine reality. You have a sardine reality with caviar perception. Like, know who Jeff Levy is doing a hell of a job at Mississippi State.
I'm gonna need the rest of the day to process that saying.
Bill O'Brien, they don't have an FBS win this year. They have 8 consecutive losses. Bill wants you to know they are not down. That program is not down. They're building a program. SMU's coming to town. Moving right along. Texas A&M is at Missouri. If Missouri had their first or second quarterback, meaning – anyway. A&M rolls. I mean, A&M takes care of business.
Yeah, I think so. This team is so locked in right now that, I mean, Mike Elko's done just a great job coaching them, and they are not getting too big, letting the moment get too big for them. And, I mean, the last time we saw this team, they were down at halftime against LSU and then ended Brian Kelly's career on live television, or his LSU tenure on live television. It's A&M's third straight home game, or road game, excuse me, which would be a warning sign to me, but they were off last week. So odd scheduling to have three straight home games, three straight road games, but you have an off week. So I think that factors minimized and A&M wins handily. Not handily.
I think it, yeah. I don't think A&M pulls away till midway through the third quarter because Missouri has had 2 weeks also to prepare and get ready. And they like the young quarterback's name escapes me, but he was highly regarded. They like what he can do. He didn't play terribly after Prabula's injury and still gave them a bit of a chance to win at Vanderbilt. And now he's had extra time to prepare. The Missouri defense also will keep them in the game. Corbettoon has done a really good job with that unit. They get after the quarterback really well. And like you noted, Zach, three consecutive road games, that wears on you after a while, even if you've had an extra break in between there. And I still think that Missouri's defense has the ability to turn over Marcel Reed. And if that happens, that's a pathway to Missouri making this a fourth quarter game with a chance to win at home. And Missouri's whole season is on the line because Missouri is, again, one of those teams in the playoff rankings, but with absolute zero margin for error because it's already got two losses and it's all the way down at number 22. But down at number 22, if it beats number three, it stays a two-loss team and makes up a lot of real estate in next week's rankings.
Yeah. A fascinating game. Oregon is at Iowa. Iowa's D, you know, is Iowa's D. Iowa's got a little bit of offense. Oregon can get flustered at times. How do we see this one playing out?
I mean, I think Oregon was underwhelming last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, coming off a bye week now. Dante Moore just checked before hopping on the call, is expected to be fully healthy and play this game. But Phil Parker and the Iowa defense, he is annually one of the least talked about coaches in college football that does the absolute best job with a bunch of 2- and 3-star dudes. Just gets them to absolutely play like their hair's on fire. And I think the Iowa defense gives the Oregon offense a bunch of fits. And I've got a ton of respect for Will Stein as an offensive coordinator. I think he's a top five play caller in college football right now. Dan Lanning, as we talk about every week, is one of the best storytellers in college football. So he'll have the catchphrase of the week rolling. But Iowa's defense is as always really good under Phil Parker.
Yeah, I love Iowa's chances in this game for all those reasons you outlined and the fact that the Hawkeyes are at home. And let's not forget, Iowa had Indiana beaten and then just wilted in the closing moments of that game and then inexplicably gave up like a 47-yard touchdown on 4th and 11 from obviously right at midfield to lose that game in a game that they led and traded punch for punch. There weren't many punches landed. It was like a 14-13 or 17-14 game. But that's the same Indiana team that went to Oregon and controlled the lines of scrimmage and won by 10. And so that's why I think Iowa has a fabulous shot to win in this game. Also, because Scott has already noted, all the pressure's on Zach. So I'm letting it all hang out with my picks this week.
I mean, Oregon's a new kid on the block in the Big Ten, but all they got to do is call Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. I can list off a number of times when they've gone to Kinnick Stadium and either lost as top 10 teams or been scared within an inch of their lives as top 10 teams. And the weather's supposed to, I think, start bad and get worse over the course of the afternoon, which you think would favor Iowa. I mean, I know that Oregon, it's not like it's all sunshine and rainbows there, but 50 degrees and sleeting or whatever it's supposed to be, you'd think would favor the Midwestern boys. If I'm Iowa, let's get them to the fourth quarter and make them go put together a drive on our defense with their California kid at quarterback. Let's just get there, and then our crowd will push us over the finish line.
Well, for the record, Dante Moore is from Michigan, not Cal.
Oh, that's right.
Right there. Right there.
He got Midwest Detroit. He's played in some trash weather before.
That's right.
And Oregon has trash weather blow through every couple of hours. So, yeah, nothing unusual.
Yeah, there. But it's not a cold rain typically in Eugene. It's just an annoying rain.
Auburn did Hugh Freeze a favor and got him out before Diego Pavia could beat him again. I don't know how Diego feels about that, but whatever. Any other thoughts on Barn Vandy?
I'm going to watch with morbid fascination to see the Auburn offense win the other games that I'm monitoring in that window allow me to.
Well, I mean, look, DJ Durkin has expressed to some people he would love the opportunity to earn the Auburn job on a full-time basis. He has no shot to do that if he doesn't start with a win this week. And again, Vanderbilt's one of those teams that has everything to play for. And now that its head coach has been fired, Auburn has nothing but the role of spoiler to play for. But Vanderbilt's 7-2. They still got Tennessee lurking down the road in Knoxville. So the Commodores, again, they're in that no margin of error zone. And one more loss and their playoff aspirations are gone.
When we shared that Saturday morning that it was our expectation that Hugh was going to be let go, I suggested that Auburn might not make DJ the interim head coach because I thought their best chance to win in further games is DJ locking in that defense. And, you know, obviously they did make DJ the guy. And the DJ comes out and says, you know, in this day and age, I don't think a head coach can be successful if he's also calling the plays. And he was talking about Hugh. He was saying he didn't think that was the right way. He thought you need a dedicated offensive coordinator. I'm like, isn't he still calling the defense? Maybe not, but I think he is. But, yeah, we'll see. Good talk. Glad I could bring that up.
If I'm Auburn and DJ wants the job, my response is go undefeated from here on out, and then we'll talk.
Yeah. I'm sure that is Auburn's response. Mm-hmm. But, again, to go undefeated, he has to start with win one at Vandy. Mm-hmm. But Auburn has the talent. Like, if you talk to coaches or I would like to watch Auburn on film with Doug because he has such a better eye than me. But the talent is there. And it's not like Auburn has been run out for the most part in games this year. They found ways to lose, or they found ways to be inefficient, or they found ways not to score. But that cat at wide receiver is as good as anybody in the country.
And some of their linebackers, they got dudes.
Right.
Defensive ends, linebackers, they got dudes for sure. Okay, so heading into this season, we'd look at these two games, Florida State, Clemson, LSU, Alabama. You're like, man, week 11 is going to be epic. So we got Florida State, Clemson, LSU, Alabama.
I saw a note right before we went on that Clemson's lost six straight home games to the Power Four, and if they lose a seventh, it'd be the longest streak since 1917. The expectation is greater than the appreciation, right, Dabo?
The to that point, Zach, it's not just six in a row. It's over a calendar year by more than a little since Clemson's last home win against a power conference opponent. It's now at like 54, 55, 56 weeks. Like it's well beyond a calendar year because it was like maybe the second weekend of October last year, and we're into the second weekend by far of November.
And if you follow like the down-to-down play, advanced metrics type stuff, Florida State's better. They're playing better than their record indicates. So I think Florida State's going to win this game.
Florida State won great against Wake. Yeah.
At what point not winning home games do you get the moniker Death Valley just taken away? You can't.
Well, they lost it when they lost to LSU. You can't have two Death Valleys, and LSU went there and won. So
yeah, that's fair enough.
It's now Cemetery Valley because their season's been buried there.
You said since the 17 season?
No, I said since
1917.
Like, oh, yeah, 1917.
LSU's going to Alabama. I don't see a path for LSU here, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't think LSU's a very good team, so that's going to be getting their way of winning at Alabama. But the mood on the sideline, the mood on the headset should be much lighter than it was last time we saw the Aggies, right? Or last time we saw them against the Aggies. So that should count for something.
They're going to compete. They're going to compete. I just don't know if they have – I don't know if they have it.
Yeah, I think they'll play hard for Frank. We'll see if the offense has any semblance of normalcy and functionality now that all the dysfunction has been apparently rooted out, or that's the popular narrative. And both teams had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. But for all the money that LSU spent on that offensive line, the ROI is dreadful. And that's going to be the difference in this game. And It's another opportunity for Ty Simpson to further cement his invitation to the Downtown Athletic Club of New York City.
I'm really interested to see the LSU sideline this game. I think, you know, Brian Kelly's won a bunch of games and he does things his way. Frank's going to bring in kind of his own approach, but for the first time in a few years, the LSU sideline will be able to operate not out of fear. And I mean, that's for coaches and players, because BK was a dude that would jump down your throat, threaten your job, maybe fire you on the sideline. And Frank has got a very different vibe to him. So I just imagine that sideline at LSU is going to be a lot more pleasant to be on. And not that that counts for wins or losses or anything like that, but just from a player and coach experience wise, I think that's going to be notable at that game.
Agreed. I think they'll be loose. I think they'll have a lot of fun. Right. I just don't know if they have it in them. We'll see. Florida's at Kentucky. It's a football game. Nebraska's at UCLA. A football game. I don't know. You know, the one I'm excited about at the end of the night, San Diego State at Hawaii.
Yes.
I see no TV coverage listed for it. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I'm going to watch with again, morbid fascination to see the Nebraska offense, because as we said on Sunday, it would have taken Nebraska about 35 plays to go score on their 2-minute drive at the end of that USC game. So interesting what Dana has done with his freshman backup over this week.
Agreed.
Big Ten football, baby.
Yeah. It's in Los Angeles. All right. What else? What did we miss?
What did we miss?
We're hoping YouTube TV strikes a deal with ESPN. And honestly, I'm not sure why they haven't yet. You're alienating your customers. You know, ultimately, you have to have ESPN. You got to pay them. You're going to pass it along to the customers anyway. Why don't you just do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
We missed a couple of ACC games that have various degrees of intrigue. I mean, Virginia remains 8-1, the darling of the ACC after Georgia Tech stumbled last week. That was the Wake Forest team that looked dreadful last week, but has snuck up on some teams this year. And then you've got that's Wake Forest, Virginia. And then you got Louisville hosting Cal. That's a key game for Justin Wilcox and the direction of the Cal program. That's also one of the ACC's other one-loss teams that's going to have a chance. Like the potential tiebreakers and computations that could be required to determine the ACC championship game participants are going to fry massively powerful computers, let alone feeble brains like mine. And then Washington at Wisconsin is a huge game for a bunch of different reasons. If Wisconsin can't find a way to upset the Huskies, then that seals a losing season for the Badgers for the second year in a row. That was the program that had the nation's longest consecutive postseason appearances streak snapped last year. That's another program, like you talk about Clemson losing all these power conference games at home. Well, if I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin has lost 11 consecutive Big Ten games and is now 3-11 in its last 14 Big Ten games. Jed Fish has Washington 6-2, and Jed Fish also has done enough, I think, to get some attention from his alma mater, the University of Florida, in that search. And people I talk to that know Jed Fish that I trust say that Jed would instantly go across the country, which is alma mater. So this is a big game for so many reasons that extend beyond what happens on the field. But you're talking about coaching trajectories could be forever altered with the way this game unfolds, because Luke Fickell looked like a great hire for Wisconsin when they plucked him away from Cincinnati. He's been a disaster for the Badgers, and the last 2 years have not only just been filled with losses, but too many of them have been non-competitive losses.
All right, Zach, close us out. How are you going to do in picks? This week you go
13-2.
Oh, so you're just picking all the favorites. You're not risking. You don't have the guts to take any upsets.
Where did I say that?
You think
I'm already seeing into the future for coaching moves? What
Kyrie Nuclear Winter? That's how I see into the future.
Yeah. What makes you think I can't see games as well?
Friends, pick up a bottle of your favorite bourbon. Enjoy some as you read Nuclear Winter. Thank us later. Enjoy the games. We'll see everybody on Sunday. Peace.